from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, astrology is having a moment, especially among millennials. And they're not just looking for meaning in the placement of stars. Crystals, tarot, herbalism, and other practices are seeing resurgences in popularity, with corporations trying to get in on the action. We look at what's driving the uptick in interest in the mystical and how it's being used, including as a form of activism. That's all next on this Friday edition of Forum. Join us. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. In this hour, we're going to look at the surge in popularity of astrology, tarot, herbalism, and other practices focusing on the supernatural and why young people seem particularly drawn to them. What's driving the resurgence now? Companies have taken notice. Perhaps you've seen more rose quartz in your home decor catalogs. Well, we want to hear from you as well. Do you use astrology, herbs, crystals, or tarot in your daily life? How and why? And let me also tell you who is joining us for this conversation. Julie Beck is senior editor at The Atlantic. She authored a recent article in The Atlantic called The New Age of Astrology. Good morning, Julie Beck.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We're also joined by Chani Nicholas. She is an astrologer. Chani Nicholas, welcome to Forum.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And we have Alejandra Leon with us. She's a tarot reader and numerologist, and her website is The Lioness Oracle. Welcome, Alejandra Leon.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, let me start with you, Alejandra, if I could. Could you tell me how you first got involved in tarot and numerology?
Absolutely. When I was a teenager, I received my first tarot reading, and it was super helpful for me. It blew my mind, actually. And I had already been opening up my mind to a connected fabric of my reality that I couldn't quite put into words or explain and couldn't necessarily.
And so what happened? What can you tell us about that reading that blew your mind?
Well, I sat down and everything she began to tell me about myself, she really started talking to me about who I am and the fact that I felt she zeroed in on me feeling different than my peers and not being able to connect with them on this, like psychic awareness that I was beginning to have. And that already blew my mind because she was hitting the nail on the head. I'd never had an experience like this before.
And why did you do a tarot reading? I mean, how did you even think to do that?
Well, it was actually my father. My father received her number from a friend, and he was going to schedule a reading, so he asked me if I wanted one, and I said yes.
Julie Beck, you have looked at what is the draw, particularly to astrology, but also to other spiritual practices. And I'm curious if you're hearing anything in what Alejandra is describing that also connects with why you what you have heard from people who have been drawn to this more recently.
Yeah, I focused pretty much only on astrology in my piece, so I want to be careful not to like expand it too far. But It is interesting. I feel like a lot of these practices, astrology especially, but, you know, maybe tarot also and some other things, provide a sort of narrative framework that can be helpful to people, where there's this existing sort of logic of symbols and ideas, and you can use that to sort of tell the story of your life to yourself. And I think that can be very interesting and helpful for people.
And Chani Nicholas, Julie Beck was just starting to describe a little bit about astrology, about symbols and so forth. Can you just give us a quick primer on what astrology is, just to remind us?
Okay, so astrology is the study of the correlation. So we're looking at what happens in the sky and what happens in our lives and on the planet, and the correlation between the two. So if we have a movement of the planets in the sky that does this and this and this, then what happens in our personal life and in our kind of greater social, you know, fabric and in our societies. And so it's looking at the ways in which, you know, it's very hermetic in nature, which all of these things are. So we're looking at how things appear in nature naturally, and then we're looking to see what that means to us. So every planet has a quality. So the qualities are derived from the way the planets appear, how they move, what their colors are, what their special nature is. And from that place, we derive meaning because of our experience of those things already. And so over thousands of years, humans have developed this relationship with the planets from different perspectives. So there's many different types of astrology. So there's many astrologies. But most of them have the same kind, they've built the same kind of relationship, or they've derived the same kinds of meanings from the same planets.
And horoscopes are supposed to give us information about what the planets are doing and then what that might mean for our lives?
Yeah, horoscopes are like the sprinkle on the icing on the cake. So horoscopes are just like a gateway to discovering something about yourself. I think they are important because they are that bridge from the popular to the specific and to the more nuanced. But horoscopes are not astrology, right? They're this tiny little fragment of it. And what's happened in popular culture is that's become blown up to be the thing, its own thing. And so it's a little bit of a distortion. So I write horoscopes as an offering. I write, you know, in the introduction, I always say, this is just an inspiration. This is not a reading of your chart. Like, I am a stranger. I'm writing for millions of people. Like, this is just a little sentiment that I hope is helpful and healing. But your astrology chart is incredibly specific and nuanced and very detailed and very much about you and you specifically. A horoscope is something incredibly general.
Are you seeing what Julie Beck wrote about, a real resurgence in popularity around astrology or interest in astrology?
I think it's important to frame this in a couple of thousand year kind of context, where astrology has had many, many, many rises and falls.
Yes.
It's been at the center of civilizations. It's been at the center of power structures. It's been at the center of rulers and rulership for many, many times over the past couple thousands of years. So what's happening now is that we have an internet, and on the internet we have social media, and on social media we talk at great speed and great length about many different things. Astrology is one of those things that's very accessible via social media because it's so memeable, meaning you can make this complex subject into a very shorthand meme in a very profound and funny and entertaining and sometimes completely incorrect way. So a lot gets propagated about astrology that's totally incorrect through memes, even though they're funny and entertaining and they're harmless to one degree and totally harmful to another, if we're going to think about the actual academics of astrology. But so through social media, things like feminism and social justice and astrology and herbalism and crystals, all of these things become propagated at a really fast rate. And then because capitalism like starts to go, oh, people like that, let's sell it. Then all of a sudden, all the magazines have it in them and everybody's talking about it and designers are designing things and everyone's trying to sell it. So yeah, it's kind of has the snowball effect that if we start talking about it in public conversation, then corporations start to be like, ooh, that's something that we could make money off of. And so it's kind of this, you know, we can't ever separate anything from capitalism and the corporate environment that I think we're living in.
Yes, and that's why we've also brought up the fact that corporations are starting to recognize that there are a lot of people who are really drawn to it, and it may be in some ways co-opting some of the images and symbols in ways that are not quite exactly the way that you would like to see them done, Chani Nicholas. Also, Alejandra León, just quickly, what is tarot, and are you also seeing an interest in tarot and numerology spike at this time?
Absolutely. I'm seeing an interest in all of these magical things are very popular right now. Tarot, numerology, palmistry, crystals, herbalism, witchcraft, all of it is extremely popular at this time. And I agree with Chani in that part of the reason we're seeing that so clearly is because of the internet, is because of Instagram and Twitter, and we can just connect with a like-minded group instantly, access information instantly. Tarot is the use of archetypes to connect to the subconscious mind, to connect to different phases of life, different experiences of life. It does work with the four elements, similar to astrology. So fire, earth, air, water, and these different elements connect to the different experiences we as humans have. So the practice of it, there is the mysterious element that when someone touches the cards and then pulls cards, that they speak directly to that person. And that is part of the mystery of it and why I like it. But it does, I've seen over the years, speak directly to that person, and through these archetypes and through these elements can accurately describe what the person is going through. And so it gives a person, as Julie Beck was saying, like a narrative to connect with in their life.
We're looking at the surge in popularity of astrology, tarot, other practices, focusing on the magical, the inexplicable, and why millennials in particular seem drawn to them. And we want to hear from you. Do you use astrology or tarot, crystals, or other spiritual or creative practices in your daily life, or know someone who does, or just have questions about it? Share your experiences and when and why you turn to them as well. You can call us at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. Post comments on our website, on Facebook, on Twitter, at KQED Forum, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. We're talking with Alejandra León. She's a tarot reader and numerologist. And Chani Nicholas, she's an astrologer. And Julie Beck, senior editor at The Atlantic. Julie Beck, one of the things you really homed in on was stress, that stress could be driving this resurgence. And I use the term resurgence because, as Chani Nicholas was saying, there have been many periods of where astrology and other things have become more salient for people. What relationship do you think this has with stress?
Yeah, so I think that there are many factors that are sort of playing into why you see astrology bubbling up in the culture and why people who weren't previously into it maybe are getting into it now. I think stress is one of those. I wouldn't say like that's the only reason, but I think, you know, there haven't been a ton of scientific studies done on it, right? But there was a study back in the 80s that found that people tended to turn to astrology in times of stress in their lives, even if when they were not stressed, they were not, it's not something that they engaged with or they weren't interested in it. And, you know, you can also see a lot of data finding that, A, millennials are a much more stressed generation generally than previous generations. And you can also look at data finding that in recent years, Americans broadly are more stressed than they have been before. So if we take that to the logical conclusion, like if stress makes astrology more appealing and more people are stressed, then it makes sense that maybe some more people are turning to it for that reason.
Well, Andy writes, you can't have someone explain what astrology or tarot is without telling your listeners that these things are not real. There is no scientific basis for any of this. Julie Beck, that's a point that you make in your article as well.
It is. And so the thing that I find a little bit frustrating about talking about this is I don't a lot of people will say, you know, you shouldn't even give airtime to this. You shouldn't waste the words on this because it's not scientifically true. And that, I mean, it's not. Yes, I've definitely said that. But I'm not super interested in litigating like whether it's real or not. I think what is interesting to me as a journalist is like, what does this do for people? Why is it becoming a thing in the culture? Like, what place does it play in people's lives? And I think that is something that we shouldn't just ignore because it's not, you know, real.
Well, the other thing that you note in your article is that the stigma attached to astrology, while it's still out there, you feel like has receded, or at least you, anecdotally, that's how it seems.
People that I spoke to told me they felt it's receded somewhat, you know, not fully. Obviously, I think there is still a stigma to that. But yeah, what I think is interesting is just how is this, how are people finding this helpful? Why are they being drawn to it? And sort of looking at it as a cultural phenomenon.
Jenny Nicholas, what's your reaction when you hear that? It's not real. It's not scientific.
Well, it's like, that's fine. I don't, you know, you don't have, there's so many things in the world. I really just want people to find what's helpful and healing for them. If you don't like astrology, if you don't buy it, if you're obsessed with the real, not real situation, the way of framing things, then great. I hope that you find what you're looking for, and I hope you find a place where you feel solace and comfort and peace. The other thing, though, that arises for me is, do you know anything about astrology? Have you actually studied it? Do you understand its history and its roots? And the whole comment about realness is interesting to me, because astrology and medicine and astrology and astronomy all arise from the same core root in our society. And so there are so many different ways in which astrology is embedded into many of our knowledge systems. And it was again, one of the roots in which other things sprang from. And so it's an incredibly valuable history to know, even if you don't quote unquote believe in any of it. It's woven into so many different aspects of life that I just think it's unfortunate for us to shut ourselves off from anything that has such a long standing, prolific, and very, very deep and nuanced and very academic history in and of itself. So I feel sad when people want to remain separate from something that's so intricately woven into many aspects of life.
And I should note that the angle of this show isn't to debate the scientific nature of astrology, of tarot and other practices. It's more just really looking at what's behind the resurgence in popularity that people are noting. And let's go to some of our calls. Camelia in Sebastopol. Good morning.
Hi. I wanted to call in because I've been reading tarot for myself and for other people for a number of years, just purely as something to feed myself. And one of the reasons I see it so relevant right now is because we're living in a world that is so complex and so confounding. And I think more and more people are realizing that we need access to our own form of inspiration and wisdom. And I think when used appropriately, tarot can help unlock things we already know to be true for ourselves, or really profound universal truths and wisdom. We don't have as many guides and connections to elders and wisdom as we used to. And so tarot is a great way to just, I don't know, tap into that wisdom and truth.
And that's what you mean by feeding yourself, Camelia, how it feeds you?
Yeah, it helps feed me, because there are times when I need clarity in my life and, you know, I don't have organized religion and I have access to some elders, but in terms of sitting down and having something that's truly perplexing me and needing guidance, I can, you know, lay down a set of tarot cards and get some feedback that makes sense to me, that helps guide my own inner belief system. I don't know if that makes sense or if that sounds too esoteric, but, you know, some of it is really simple and clear guidance about these, like, major archetypes and pieces of wisdom that people have been using for centuries to help understand how to make choices and how to live our lives, I don't know, in a more profound way, maybe.
Well, Camelia, thanks for sharing that. The other thing I was struck by, Alejandro León, was Camelia also said, when used appropriately. You've often described tarot numerology as a tool,
yes,
more than as like a belief system.
Yes.
So is that part of what you think? Is there like an appropriate way to understand these things? Where to use these things? Or what would you define as inappropriate?
I think what I find inappropriate in my practice and in this day and age, I think it's inappropriate to use the tool to take power away from people. I myself do not use it as a tool to tell people how their life's going to be and what's going to happen to them. It's kind of an old outdated fortune-telling stigma with tarot. And I know that it is used that way at times. But for me, it's inappropriate because you're taking power away from the individual and their free will away from them. I find it more appropriate to use it as a self-reflective tool and a tool for empowerment to help make the choices you want to make in life and do what you want to do.
And Julie Beck, you also seem to find that for a lot of people, it wasn't necessarily about believing in everything, but more just whether or not these tools were useful that made mm-hmm. that drew people to them.
Yeah, and many, many people, almost everyone I talked to, I would say, said pretty much what Alejandra just said, that they did not see it, you know, as a science, that they did not see it as a belief, something you believe in or not, that they saw it as a tool, or that they saw it as a language. And I think that's really interesting, because I think there is a bit more of a sense among some young people that they don't need for something to be scientifically proven for them to find it useful in their lives. And I think that makes sense, right? You know, things can be useful without being quote unquote real or true. Like we find truth in fiction all the time. And that's kind of the sense I get from some of these people, especially who seem to be newly into astrology in the past few years, that it doesn't really matter if it's real. It matters if it's useful. And you can find, you know, a sort of truth for yourself, or you can help tell your own story to yourself using a tool like astrology or tarot.
Well, this listener asks, how are horoscopes written? Does someone look up the stars with a notebook in hand and just write? Channy Nicholas?
Well, I look at the patterns that are occurring for that week or those 2 weeks or that month or that moment. And I then put those patterns into a chart for each sign. And then I write about how that person might be able to use those energies. But again, I like the sentiment that's being echoed here. All of these things are just a tool, and you're looking to see the quality of something. And so you're not, it's not about reading into and having one thing mean something. It's about deriving, like pulling out from the thing that you're looking at, the planet or the card, and saying, well, what are these qualities, and how, and to your client or to the people you're speaking to, how does that impact you? How are you working with this? What do you want to do with this? This is the quality of the moment. What do you, this is for you to work with. So do so with consciousness and some intention for yourself.
So then do you think people who blindly accept astrology that as fact or as real or as scientific, that could be harmful? And I'm sorry, we just have 20 seconds before.
I don't know what that means, you know, like to accept it. It's a relationship. So mm-hmm. it's about being in relationship with something with consciousness and intelligence.
Well, we'll have more with Channy Nicholas, an astrologer, Julie Beck, senior editor at The Atlantic, and Alejandro León, a tarot reader and numerologist. After the break, I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum. You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Astrology, crystals, tarot, herbalism, and other practices are having a moment, especially among young people. And we're looking at what's driving the uptick in interest and how and why people are using these tools, including as a form of activism in some cases. We're talking with Julie Beck. She's senior editor at The Atlantic. She authored the article in The Atlantic called The New Age of Astrology, and Channy Nicholas, who is an astrologer. We're also talking with Alejandra León. She's a tarot reader and numerologist, and her organization is the Lioness Oracle. And we're talking with you, our listeners. Do you use creative practices in your daily life? Have you turned to astrology, tarot, herbs, crystals, or other things like that at this time? Why? Or maybe you know someone who does and want to share what made them turn to it as well. The number 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Our website, kqed.org/forum. Our email address, forum@kqed.org. You can tweet us at KQED Forum or post your comments on Facebook. And let me go right to our calls again. Maya in Oakland. Hi, Maya.
Hi. So first, just want to say a huge thank you to Channy Nicholas I've been reading your stuff for years, and as a queer person, it's just hugely powerful. So thank you for everything you're doing, especially for the queer community. Just wanted to offer my perspective as a millennial about why this stuff is so relevant to us. The world that we've inherited kind of sucks. And the rationale that we've been given by older generations about why the world is the way it is, all of these explanations from religion, from capitalism, all of these ideologies, those also kind of suck. So I think a lot of us are looking for a way to make sense of the world and have a new understanding of how things are and also how things could be, right? I think that's the beauty of astrology and tarot and things like that, is it gives us a vision of what things could be and can help us take action and not feel so powerless. So
thanks for that. And I'm glad you brought up the queer community, because it does feel like community building has been a big part of this. Alejandra León, has this space always been as inclusive as it's being painted now, as being more inclusive of the queer community, of people of color? Or is that a more recent development in your view?
I think it's a bit of both. I think astrology and tarot in themselves being a bit ostracized from society can naturally align itself with those who also feel ostracized and can feel more open and inclusive than, say, a religious organization. That being said, with my experience of tarot and magic, there's still a lot of information handed down from white men, and there's still a lot of Anglo-centric representation. But that's why it's so beautiful nowadays to see more representation and more voices of the queer community and people of color.
Chetty Nicholas, do you want to comment on the community building aspect of this?
Yeah, I think it's a really important piece of it, that whatever community we're talking about, it's all about having access to tools that we feel, again, can be supportive to our healing and to our connection and to our way of being together. And I know that astrology and tarot and herbs and all of these practices and tools that we're talking about are incredible community builders. And also that it's not that it's about astrology and tarot being accepting of, it's that these things are constructed by human beings, right? And so it's really about who's propagating the information about these things. And with the internet, again, we've seen that be completely switched up, because now we all have the power to speak on whatever we want to. And so pre-social media, it was about getting a book deal and having whoever had the book deals had the voice, or whoever was invited to the conferences had the voice for the canon of the thing. And now that's all been subverted. And so now we see so many more people, so many more folks bring their stories and their experiences and their cultures and their ways of working with these things in their own traditions and their own lineages to the mix. And so now astrology and tarot have become so much more richer through the diversity of voices that get to speak with it and through it and from it.
And Julie Beck, underscoring your point about how well suited this is to the internet age, to online, because of the community building or the ease with which you can community build online.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of ways in which the internet makes sense for a place for astrology to flourish. And Chani just mentioned one. And I think we were talking earlier, too, about sort of the natural marriage of astrology and memes, which just makes sense because both of these things are like a sort of symbolic language that people will use as a shorthand to express something more complex when they're communicating. So whether that's like a, you know, like a reaction GIF, like that is meant to convey a more complex emotion, or whether that's, you know, using symbols of planets and signs and all that to communicate like something more, a more complex like archetype of being a person or whatever. So I think that makes sense as well. And then also just, you know, people, if people begin to get interested in it, they can go to whatever level they want to, because there's so much information you can get. You can, you know, really go to town on Google if you want, or you can just sort of have a passing interest and maybe read some horoscopes and maybe look at some memes and whatever you want to do. I think that the internet makes that easy.
Well, let's hear next from Javier in San Francisco. Hi, Javier.
Hey, guys. First time calling in. Thanks for the show. Awesome to hear the topic. The perspective I wanted to offer up, what I get out of it, and I've got a technical background, engineering undergrad, and all that other good stuff, and you got to get into it and use it, just like any other tool, and you get the experience you've got. But tarot, for example, offers perspective. As I'm looking at an issue from the inside out, I may not see certain things, and you pull a few cards, or you get a spread put down, and what you can see or pick up from those cards will oftentimes illuminate something that you might not have realized about that situation before. And so it really offers good perspective in that regard.
Well, Javier,
and then,
yeah, sorry, you want to add something?
And that the other comment was just going to be, you were asking earlier about why people are turning to it, and we've kind of, I feel like it's been dabbled on, but it's this idea that there's so much tech in the world right now, and tarot and astrology, they all start to get back to nature. And so my perspective is that we're actually grappling, trying to pull back to our natural being, our natural state. And it's a mix of the two. And we have to find that balance.
Oh, that's an interesting point. So at a time when it feels like we're trying to quantify everything, it's nice to have something that's inexplicable or unquantifiable.
I agree.
Well, let's hear next from Jake in Oakland. Hi, Jake.
Hi. I just had a question. I feel that the recent rise in all of these practices may be tied in some way to kind of this general intellectualism, anti-science.
Well, Jake, I think we lost you. If you can call back, please do. I'm told that we are being joined now by Berenice Dimas. She's an herbalist, a doula, and founder of Hood Herbalism and Brew Hot Tip. Berenice, welcome to Forum.
Hi, I'm saying hello from the birth world over here in the hospital.
Yes, I want to really thank you for joining us while I know you're in the throes of helping to deliver a baby. Or was the baby delivered yet?
Not yet. They're taking some time to rest right now before the next decision that they're making around their care. And so I felt like it was a good time to take a break with them and come out and join you all.
Well, talk a little bit about, you know, being an herbalist. What is herbalism?
Well, herbalism, I think, is defined differently by a lot of people. For me, what herbalism has meant has been always a realization of everything that's around us and being in relationship with plants. And not only being in relationship with plants, but recognizing the long history that a lot of communities have to being in relationship with everything around them, you know, to take care of them, to build their homes, to make their food, to build their baskets and their tools. And so herbalism really is just an acknowledgement of a really long, long relationship that we've had with the natural world. Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about the just the uptick in interest in astrology and tarot. And are you seeing that in herbalism as well?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, you know, my classes right now that I've been offering in the community are full all the time. You know, there's so many people, and I've, you know, just from spending so much time with people and asking them what brought you to these spaces, and there's a lot of them are, you know, like trying to reconnect to their ancestral roots, trying to, you know, bring different modes of healing to their bodies. They're looking for answers in relation to health concerns that they have that they're not finding answers in other avenues, and they're trying to see if maybe herbs and herbalism and herbal medicine and natural healing modalities can bring that to them. So I feel like there's a real need, and I'm sure that that's, you know, been talked about around that reconnection with our bodies, that reconnection with the earth, and more importantly, trying to find solutions to some things that, you know, that we're not finding in other places, you know?
Well, it's interesting that you bring up health. Noel writes, maybe there's an interest in herbalism due to a lack of good health insurance or because of bad experiences for those who have health insurance. Do you think that's true?
Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the stories I hear from people, you know, and I feel like there's just that disconnection, right, and that inability to meet halfway between, you know, herbs and medicine. And I feel like one of the callers was saying that, right, like there's this disconnection and trying to find that place in the middle where both things can exist given the context of where we're at historically right now, you know? But for me, I feel like I didn't really grow up going to the hospital, so I don't necessarily have that perspective. You know, my mom took care of us at home. She used a lot of natural medicine, but because she came from a lineage of people that just took care of themselves with the land and knew the plants around them and they used them. And so when I hear, like, all these people joining my classes and saying, like, they've had these experiences, I see them, right, because I do this work and I see all these people even in birth. But I don't necessarily have that experience that a lot of people have around, like, not feeling like the medical system isn't offering you the resources that you need, or is not not allowing you to make those decisions yourself, you know? And so it could be a lot of different things, but definitely I agree that that might be one of them. At least that's what I'm seeing, too.
Well, Berenice Dimas, how do you see herbalism informing your activism? Because you've written about how they're intertwined for you.
Well, I think for me, it's an acknowledgement of traditional medicines, and that can be called activism, right? But for me, it's really advocating for the access that we have to natural medicine, advocating for resources to be able to have these things. And so for me, it's all tied to our communities. You know, I'm seeing so many of our community members really ill, really impacted by these systems. And so for me, it's like that, going back to our communities and reminding them of the things that they already knew, right? So many times in the classes when they have to bring in a family member and the family member remembers and they learn how to make massage oil and salves, they're like, we used to do this. What happened? Why do we forget it? You know, and it's tied to colonialism. It's tied to these systems, and it's tied to a history that instilled a lot of fear in communities that practice traditional medicine as part of their colonial practice. And so for me, like, it's totally connected to activism, because it's connected to, you know, not only decolonizing, which is a term that, you know, definitely is being used to explain this process, but to actually reconnecting to what used to be ours and what is ours, you know, which is our understanding and our trust that the earth can also support our well-being.
Jenny Nicholas, would you say that for you, astrology and activism is intertwined as well?
I think that I love what was just shared. I think it's so important. And that, you know, astrology and political commentary has definitely existed throughout history. And there have been many astrologers for thousands of years that have been either, again, commenting on this kind of state of our political situation, and also predicting and helping political leaders make decisions. And so there's different ways in which we can look at that question. And the way in which it's appearing now, I think, has been so for, I would say, you know, astrologers have been framing political moments through the lens of astrology in an activist kind of way for a couple of decades now.
How do you use it? Political commentary.
How do I use astrology?
No, how do you use political commentary? Because I notice, say, in some of your horoscopes that you will refer, right, to events like children being separated at the border, things like that.
Well, I'm speaking to people about people. And so we, as people, we are all living within systemic oppressive systems. So we all live within white supremacy. This whole world is a result of colonization. We are all impacted in different ways, but we all exist within these systems that are incredibly unjust. And so if I'm speaking to people, I have to be addressing the structures that we're trying to exist within, and acknowledging how difficult that is, and also trying to find a way to enact our agency within these unfair setups for those of us that have privilege to try to dismantle that, and for those of us that are struggling within a system that doesn't want us to thrive at all, how do we acknowledge that and also find meaning and find ways to resist it and, you know, try to find some way to connect with others so that we feel stronger and more able to find a new, a different way to live.
Well, Julie Becker, do you find that people who lean left politically are more drawn to these practices? Did you see that at all in your research or reporting?
You know, unfortunately, I'm not really able to speak to that because I think one of the challenges that I had in reporting this story is that there aren't, you know, people aren't doing a ton of surveys about astrology, like good, you know, population-based surveys or studies. So I kind of had to work with what is out there and just with talking to as many people as I could and kind of hearing from them. So I'm not really sure what the political spectrum lines up with astrology.
Well, Ron writes, a lady that I contacted through Match.com decided that I'm a rabbit in the Chinese zodiac while she's a rooster. In her mind, that completely eliminated any possibilities between us. Nicole writes, the main reason I got into tarot and astrology at a young age is because I never really identified with organized religion, but still consider myself a spiritual person. I enjoy having ritualistic practices, and it perpetuates positive affirmations in my daily life. You're nodding, Alejandra León.
Oh,
it's a sentiment you hear a lot.
Yeah, I think that tarot and astrology and these forms of mysticism, if you will, allow for people to have a spiritual connection without feeling like they're adhering to a really strict dogma or set of rules.
Well, Eric writes, under 20% of millennials vote, which is indicative of apathy, and now we're told they're embracing astrology? This is a disturbing trend. If ever there was a time to focus on the real world, it is now. Barbara writes, as a woman in science, I'm also offended by your highlighting women with this nonsense when we are struggling to get more women to go into science and technology. Berenice Dimas, do you have a reaction to that?
Wow, it sounds like people have really strong opinions about, you know, spiritual practices, which is definitely not surprising given that we live in a society that, you know, favors science over heart and spirit any day, you know, and that's what's been kind of imposed on us. And it's unfortunate, you know, because astrology and the work that Chani does and also, like, reading our tarot, right, and the work with herbs and the plants, they offer so much perspective around what's already happening. And they're 1,000-year-old practices. It's not something new. And so for people to feel like it's a waste of time that we are having this conversation is, you know, it's a big highlight around where we're at as far as priorities, because the work that we are all doing, and I know that because I follow the work that both of these people that are on this call are doing, is very important. It's bringing us a perspective that is necessary because it has been. And it's not new. It's not new. We've been practicing this for a very, very long time, you know? It's also connected to a lot of different things. But I feel like for me, it's important to acknowledge, okay, this is where people are at, right? Systemically around spiritual practices, which is, this is not surprising, but it's also like completely, and from their part, also completely just dismissing what it has brought to many, many people that have found herbs, that have found, you know, something super profound in a reading, that have found pieces of themselves through reading astrology, you know? And so I feel like us being dismissive of each other in that way, it, you know, can be more harmful than actually really helpful for us.
And Chani Nicholas, I'm also going to give you a chance to respond because one of the comments specifically called out astrology. But I do just want to again note that what we're really highlighting here is its resurgence, that there is a trend and that we want to see what is driving the trend or resurgence of interest in these various practices. And that is really what was sort of behind the thrust of the show, and that it's really not about determining its realness or scientific basis. But Chani Nicholas, quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's very fascinating to be someone that is so left of left politically, really, to be lumped into the same category as basically I feel like what I can derive from what folks are saying is that I'm being lumped in the same category as climate deniers, climate change deniers, sorry. And so I am not anti-science. I think science is incredible. And I also am here to say that, you know, science and herbalism and science and astrology, like they have the same root system. So, you know, like planets are related to herbs and plant life, of course, is where we have science and medicine from. I mean, this is the root of it. I just feel like we're so disconnected from the history around things. And I also feel like this incredibly old fear that comes up in us when we say that we are practicing anything that is not quote unquote scientific, it evokes this like backlash. And I guess what I really want people to understand is that someone was saying this earlier in the call, is that I'm not telling anybody what to do. I'm not predicting anything. That is not what my practice or most people's practices that I know of is about. My practice is to explore options with folks and to explore different ways in which they might feel seen and witnessed and connected to, and that I am not here to dictate anything. I'm here to actually teach folks how to use the tool for themselves, which I think is what a lot of us are saying. We're trying to reconnect back into our own agency and our own power and our own way of working again with these tools for ourselves, because it's not about having to go through someone else to get the message. These are things that we can learn and apply to our own lives directly.
And again, Chani Nicholas is an astrologer. Also with us is Berenice Dimas, an herbalist, doula, and founder of Hood Herbalism and Bruja Tip. Alejandro León is a tarot reader and numerologist with the Lioness Oracle. And Julie Beck is senior editor at The Atlantic. And let's hear now from Frederick in Saratoga. Hi, Frederick.
Hi, good morning. I can't more heartily support what has been said about us living in simply a profit-making capitalist society where the economics drives almost all of our decision-making. So therefore, we look at things like astrology, which I've had a relationship with since, I guess, the mid-80s, well before the computer age, but we can look at Ayurveda and homeopathy and Chinese medicine as other ancient techniques that are so valid that well predate our Western society. But I wanted to talk briefly about my first two-hour visit with an astrologer who I had a conversation with simply about the charts, which pointed to the weaknesses that I could see that I have, not as a given, but it's something that if I reflect upon, my strength may not be in a long-term project orientation that takes a lot of nuts and bolts thinking, but it is much more easy for me to communicate, let's say, and to call a radio station. So if I'd like to really fully develop myself, I, through this understanding of having very little planets in the Earth routine, or yeah, it would be Earth, in the Earth system of analysis, tells me that those are qualities that I may like to spend a little bit more time on, and therefore I can see the benefit.
Yes, I'm glad it was such a positive experience for you. Taylor writes, at 70 years old, people often ask if I believe in life after death or God. At this, I say, I believe in everything. Who really knows? I even believe in astrology. I try to be open-minded, and I'm proud to be a Virgo in every sense of the word. Marcia writes, where's the scientific basis for any religion? Yet believers attribute blame or responsibility on God all the time without being challenged to prove it. Let's go next to Morgan in Oakland. Hi, Morgan.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I just wanted to share my experience in a resource that really got me into astrology about 4 years ago. I think what is making it stick for folks is that if you get into it and the evidence really holds over time. So somebody introduced a book called Sextrology, Astrology for the Sexes to me. And it breaks down each of the signs by gender and gets really specific, and it reads like an academic text. And the person who introduced it to me was a really unlikely astrology fan. And so I got the book, and over time it just shows really detailed personality traits and patterns within the signs. And over time, it just holds up. So I wanted to share that resource and my experience with it. And I think the evidence just holds up.
Well, Morgan, thanks for that. Stephen writes, some of us are old enough to remember the 1980s when there was a huge New Age movement among a similar age bracket as today's millennials. In August 1987, there was even the harmonic convergence. I'm afraid it all petered out as we got older and wiser. I'm curious, and I'll start with you, Berenice Dimas. In this resurgence that we're seeing quickly, what do you think will be the lasting effects of this of this one, of this go-around, it seems, since it feels like it's had, you know, moments of peak interest over many years. Berenice, are you there? Oh, maybe we lost her. Maybe there was a development in the delivery. Channing Nicholas, can I ask you that? Oh, Berenice, are you there? Quickly, I'm wondering if what you see as a potential lasting effect of this resurgence in interest in herbalism.
I hope to see, you know, the shift in people feeling more connected to themselves and more connected to the environment and more connected to their communities and also the places that they come from so that they can find, like, the answers that they're looking for, you know, with their health and with their well-being. So I feel like I'm really hoping that this, you know, what you're calling like a resurgence of this medicine is really here to take us into a new place, because we definitely need that. And we know that a lot of changes are coming. And so we see it in the earth and the plants and everything around us. And I'm really hoping that it has a positive effect on all of us because, you know, there's just so much change that's coming.
Well, Berenice Dimas, thanks so much for joining us with everything that you're doing over there right now as a doula. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Alejandro León, thank you so much for being with us today. Tarot reader and numerologist with the Lioness Oracle.
It was great to be here. Thank you.
Channing Nicholas, also an astrologer. Thank you for your insights.
Thank you for having me.
And Julie Beck of The Atlantic. Thanks for your article that inspired our show.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to our listeners for their questions, comments, pushback, and stories as well. I'm Mina Kim. Have a great weekend. I'll reach in my altar. Got coins on the counter. I'll reach in my altar. I'll reach in my altar.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.